Everyone, very much for joining us this morning. Today's daf is going to take us back into the big topic of this mesechta, which we've been dealing with a lot on and off. That's the issue of carrying. We're not allowed to, on Shabbos, take an item up in the private domain, carry it out into the public domain, put it down in the public domain. That's called hotza'ah. We're not allowed to lift up an item from the public domain, carry it into the private domain, put it down in the private domain. We're not allowed to lift up an item in the public domain, transport it 6 feet, that is dalet amos, four amos, in the public domain, and put it down in the public domain. So the last chapter, the ninth chapter of Masechta Shabbos, dealt with back in the eighth chapter of Masechta Shabbos, we dealt with different items and how much of an item is considered prominent. What is clothing? What is jewelry? So at the very end of the last chapter, the very end of the ninth chapter, we learned in regards to seeds, garden seeds. Five garden seeds is a prominent amount. If you carried out five garden seeds from the house to the street in a place with no eruv, you would be chayev. We learned that in regards to cucumber seeds, if it would be two cucumber seeds that you carried out from the private domain to the public domain, you would be chayev. And Fred raised the question, which was a very good question. He said, I don't understand, you know, if for one person it's meaningful, what about for other people? And the answer was that that's really a matter of machlokas. That's what we had seen earlier. We saw earlier there was a machlokas. There's an argument about it. According to some, that's the general view, the rachachamim, the tanakama. You look at what's normal. If this amount of seeds for most people, for normal people, is a prominent amount, then it's a prominent amount, and if somebody carries it, it's chayiv. You don't look at one particular person. But according to Shimon Elazar, if for one particular person this is a prominent amount, then for everyone this is considered a prominent amount. So that very question that Fred was bringing up is going to be the topic of our Mishnah. And through talking about that issue, the issue of what is considered a prominent amount in regards to carrying, we get into general issues in regards to carrying, the issue of akira, uprooting, hanacha, putting down. And the very basis of carrying is akira, uprooting from one rishus, from one biblical domain, either the private domain or the public domain, and putting down on the other biblical domain. But what happens if you carry it through some other domain? That's going to be a topic. What happens if you pick it up in the private domain, but you didn't put it down in the public domain? You first put it down in something which is in between private and public. You put it down in Carmelis. And then from Carmelis, you lifted it up and put it down in the public. So these are going to be the topics that we're going to learn about on today's daf. Again, this is a daf about the laws of Hotza'ah, about carrying. Let's start with the Mishnah. We learned in last parak that in regards to garden seeds, the amount of garden seeds which is prominent, and if you carry out that amount, you are chayiv for carrying, is five. So the Mishnah said, Hamatznia lezera. What happens if there's a person who stores away garden seeds less than five because he's planting? So, you know, in his garden, he has a little corner that's open. So he's putting away one seed. For him, one seed is significant. For him, one seed's important because he wants to plant that tiny amount. Or ledugma, maybe he's a salesperson and he needs a sample. And he knows customers are coming, so he puts aside a small amount just as a sample. Or l'refua, or a person put aside a small amount, and he's giving that small amount prominence by putting it aside, because he needs it as a medication. But most people wouldn't put away such a small amount. So this person is putting away this small amount. Now, hotzio b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, he takes this amount, which he put away for healing, for sales, for the garden, whatever it was, and he took it out from the private domain into the public domain. So in such a case, chayiv b'kalshu, he's chayiv for that little bit of carrying. He's chayiv. Even though it's less than five seeds, he is chayiv. For kal adam, however, other people, ein chayiv alav ela kishiura. Other people, if they were to take that seed that, you know, Reuven put away one seed, because Reuven is planning to plant the single seed. But Shimon comes and takes that seed of Reuven and carries it out. So Shimon's exempt, because Shimon didn't carry the right amount. For Shimon, a prominent amount of garden seeds would be five garden seeds. Now, what happens if Chazar, What happens if the same person who put away that one seed now changed his mind? He decides, I don't want to have that one seed for planting. I don't need one seed for a sale. I don't need one seed for healing. He changed his mind. So once he changed his mind, so now he reverts back to the idea that the only thing that's prominent is five seeds, and one seed is not prominent. V'hichniso, or he took it out, he changed his mind, and now he brought it back in. Eino chayiv, so now he's not chayiv. Ela kishiuro, he'd only be obligated if he were to be taking out the right amount, which we learned in the last Mishnah, is five seeds when we deal with garden seeds. So basically the point of the Mishnah is really addressing Fred's question. The Mishnah had said that five garden seeds is what's prominent. That was last daf, yesterday. So this Mishnah says, what about if you have a guy that for him, one seed is prominent, because for his own reasons, he wants to put away one seed, and he's storing the one seed. So the Mishnah says, well, if for him, one seed is prominent, so for him, carrying out the one seed would be a source of obligation. Now, if he changes his mind to revert back to normal people, then his law would go back to the normal people, and one seed wouldn't create an obligation, and only five seeds would create the obligation. Ask the Gemara, why did the Mishnah have to say that the guy who makes one seed prominent put aside that one seed, stored that one seed? If he wants one seed because he needs to plant one seed, he has got one little corner of his garden that's open, so he wants to take out one seed. So just say, a guy is taking out one seed, why did you say, if he stored it and then he took it out? Listen, Amotzi Lazera. Say, a guy who takes a single seed out because he wants to plant the one seed. Or he takes a single seed out because Ledugma, he wants to sell the one seed. Or he takes a one seed out, Lerafua, he wants to use that one seed for healing out in the street. So for him, one seed is prominent. Why does it have to be that one seed is prominent? Because he put it away. You should just say he took it out and he's chayiv. Bekolshu, chayiv for any little bit. So Amar Abaye answered, the answer is the case of the law of the Mishnah is a little bit more complicated. The law of the Mishnah is, Kagon Shitznia. He has a garden. There's one little corner of the garden where nothing is growing. So he can squeeze in one seed. So he goes out, he finds some garden seeds. He takes those one cucumber seed. He says, I'm going to use this. And he puts it aside to store it. So now he shows that he's making that one seed prominent. But then he forgot about it. He forgot why he had put aside one seed. He forgot. And then, and now he takes the one seed, just as Hotza. He's taking one seed, he's carrying one seed. Now he goes to take one seed to carry it. So, the issue really is a question of psychology. Now starting today's daf. Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Ma'u did Tame would have thought to say, Bitule batla machshavto. If a person is not actively thinking about what he was thinking originally, he's just carrying. So what he was thinking originally is now nullified. And if it's nullified, then what is an amount that's prominent? Five seeds. This is only one seed. And he'd be exempt. Kamash malan. So that's the novelty of the Mishnah. Kala osal das rishona hu osa. The novelty of the Mishnah is a law about psychology. If a person is planning to use one seed, he puts aside one seed, he's storing one seed, then he does a mindless act of just carrying that seed out. We say mindless acts, unintentional acts, are not reversals of the plans and the intentions. Mindless acts continue the plans and the intentions. So since initially he put aside one seed for his seeding, now he's just carrying. We assume he's still working under the same frame that he began with, and one seed is prominent. Kamashman, this is the novelty. Kol ha'osa, when people do things without any deliberate decision, al das rishona hu osa, what they're really doing is they're trying to continue what they initially planned to do. So now,
Rabbi, does this psychology tool carry through Gemara, or is this just with this? Because I don't remember the psychology before.
No, just here. This is in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Machayev Rabbi Meir would obligate a person who carries afimotzi chita achas lizria, even someone who carries one seed of wheat from his house to the street, because he's planning to plant that one seed. So Gemara says, pshita, of course, you're obligated for one seed. Kol shuts none, our Mishnah said, any little bit of an amount. So Gemara says, no. Ma'ad of him who thought to say, kol shulafu kimi gro gares. I would say when it says, any little bit amount can still be prominent, it means it doesn't have to be a full fig worth, it can be an olive worth. Ulolam adika kazayas, but it have to be an olive worth. Kamash once, that's the novelty, even one seed, even one kernel of wheat. Maskvar Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak son of Rav Yehuda, challenge this. Let me ask, but if this is the case, Chishav lotzi kol beso, if you're going to say that you just follow what people are thinking, let's say somebody's planning to take everything in his house out. Every single book that he has in his library of 5,000 books, he's going to carry it out on Shabbos. And then, if you say we follow what he's thinking, if he didn't take them all out, he only took out 4,000 books, we're going to say he's not chayiv. So Gemara says, no. Hasan batla died to Yitzchak Kaladim. There it's different. A guy who says, for me, the only thing that's meaningful carrying is to carry out everything, that's abnormal. If it's abnormal, nobody means it. He doesn't mean it. A meaningful act of carrying is to carry out a book. Say, for me, the only thing that's a meaningful thing to carry is to carry out 5,000 books. Such an intent is annulled. But what we're saying here is something different. It is normal, really, for every person that under certain circumstances, one seed is meaningful. If you only have one little corner in your garden available to plant. So therefore, what Rabbi Meir and what we're saying here is, if somebody has made one seed prominent, because for him it's meaningful, then for him it is meaningful. And if he carries out that amount, he would be violating Shabbos. Then the Mishnah went on to say, while for this person, one seed is meaningful, v'chal adam, if other people come and carry it, ein chayav and alavelo kishiuro, they would only be obligated if they carried the full amount, the five garden seeds. Says the Gemara, Masnisan, this Mishnah is the lok Reb Shimon ben Elazar. It's not like the view of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya went to the Braisa. Klalam Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar had a rule. Kol sheino kasha latznia. Let's say you have something which is not, fit to put aside. In other words, it's not meaningful, it's not substantive enough to be able to put it aside. The ein matznian kamohu. And normally people wouldn't put, or people wouldn't put aside this amount. It's not enough of it. But for one guy, it is meaningful, right? Normally, garden seeds, five are meaningful. But for this guy, one garden seed is meaningful. And this guy put aside one seed. And then somebody else comes and takes out that one seed that this other person put aside. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, the other person is also obligated. But our Mishnah is against that. Our Mishnah holds. You look at what's normal for normal people. If for one particular person, for him, a small amount is meaningful, so for him a small amount is meaningful. But the fact that for him a small amount is meaningful does not mean that for other people such a small amount would be meaningful or create an obligation. Okay, a question, Baruch.
Yeah, Rabbi, but he's in his backyard, or he's in his own plantation. That's a private place. It's not a public place, so he cannot do that, carry one seed from one corner to the other corner?
No, we're talking about where he's actually carried out to the public street.
Oh, from his private land?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah. But as long as he's staying on his private land and his own land, he's okay. Right?
Good point. Yes, we're going to discuss that in great depth, but that's a very good point for sure. Yes,
okay.
We're going to discuss that a lot later on Amud Beis. Okay, so now we're going to talk about different questions in regards to Akira and Hanacha. Remember, Hotzah, the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos, is to lift up in one domain, transfer to the next domain, and then put it down in the other domain. So Amar Rav, Rav said, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman. Hotzi kagrogeres. Let's say he took out something which could be either seeds or food. Sunflower seeds. You could plant them, you could eat them. So he took out a fig worth of sunflower seeds, and when he took it out, lachila, he's planning to eat. And then before he puts it down, he decides, you know what, I'm going to actually use these seeds for planting, not for eating. So now the amount of of what's prominent for planting is different than the amount of what's prominent for eating. The amount of what's prominent for eating is a fig worth. The amount of what's prominent for planting is five seeds. So now what's the law? Inami, or alternatively the other way, Lizria, he took out the seeds planning to plant them. And then v'nimlach aleh l'achila, then he changed his mind thinking he's going to eat them. So in both of these cases, chayiv, because the amount he took out is certainly enough for either thing. A fig worth is enough for food, a fig worth is enough for seeds, for planting. So even though his intention switched between his lifting up and his putting down, he is still obligated. So Gemara says, pshit, of course this is the law. Zilachi kishura, zilachi kishura. If you look at him from the perspective of an eater, eating and food, there's enough here. If you look at him from the perspective of a farmer and planting seeds, there's also enough here. So what's the big deal? Answer the Gemara. My attempt was thought to say, for it to be considered an act of carrying, you have to uproot and you have to put down with the same frame of mind, with the same intentions. Here you don't have the same intentions, because here when he lifted it up, he's thinking eating. When he puts it down, he's thinking planting. Kamash malan. So that's the chiddush, that's the novel idea. Since in both thoughts, it's enough here that's prominent, he did an act of carrying a prominent substance, and he's obligated for carrying on Shabbos. Boy, Rav asked a question now. What happens if when he lifted it up, he was planning to plant? So he only lifted up half a fig worth of seeds, planning to plant the seeds. And then, before he could put it down, this item inflated. It was raining, and it all got bigger. Then he changed his mind. He said, okay, now I'm going to eat it. So now, when he's putting it down, he's putting down a full fig worth of what is a food with the intention of eating it. So now, what's the halacha? Im tim salom, if you're going to say, maybe the last case where he took out a full fig worth, there he's obligated, because zilhachi kishura v'zilhachi kishura. Either way, there's a full amount. There's a full amount of food, there's a full amount of seeds. Of planting. But over here, came into Be'idna, the Apke lo have a be shiura, shiura achila. When he took it out, it wasn't enough if you're thinking about foods. Because from the perspective of foods, you need to have a fig worth. He was only taking out half a fig worth. So then maybe, lo machayiv, maybe he's not obligated. Odilmor, maybe. Kivin de lu ishtik, velo chashav aleh, since were he to be quiet and not think about it. He would be obligated for the thought of the planting. Hashtanami. So maybe now too. Mechayiv. He's obligated because the original uprooting was with a thought that would create obligation. And now the ultimate putting down is with a thought that creates obligation. If you're going to tell me to keep in the Yudhishtik Lochashavaleya. Since if he would have not had any new thought, just continued what he was doing, he would have been obligated because he took out enough for planting, and he was planning for planting. So now he's also obligated because even though he switched his intentions, now he's planning for eating, but he has enough for eating. What's the following case? He took out a fig worth. What he uproots, he's planning to eat it. Nimloch, then vitzamka. Then as he's carrying it, it shrivels. Now it's less than a fig worth. And then nimloch aleh, when he wants to put it down, he's thinking, Lizria, now he's I'm gonna use it for planting. So now Mao, what's the law? Hachavadai here. The question's the following. Ki ishtikamachavakamaisalomachai. If he wouldn't have had a new thought, and he just would have continued with the original thought of planning for eating, he's not obligated, because when he puts down, he doesn't put out enough. He's putting down less than a fig worth. Oh, Dilmer, maybe Basar Ashtazlin, maybe we follow what he's thinking now. Initially, he was thinking enough to be obligated, and now he's thinking enough to be obligated. So maybe he is obligated. Maybe Tim Zalomer is going to tell me Basar Ashtazlin, he's going to tell me that he is, in fact, obligated, because initially, when he uprooted a fig worth, and that was as food, and a fig worth as food is prominent, so he's obligated, he could be obligated for that. Now that he's putting down, he's thinking about planting, and planting even less than a fig worth is prominent, so he's obligated for that, so it's all considered one act of a malacha. So if you're going to tell me that, what about the following case? Let's say what he uprooted, he took a fig worth, planning to eat. Vitzamka, and then it shriveled to be less than a fig worth. And before he put it down, before he could put it down, it inflated again to be a fig worth. fig worth. So Mal, what's the halacha now? Yesh dichoy le'inyan Shabbos. Is there now a law of dichoy? Do we say that since at one point you couldn't have a malacha here, it wasn't a malacha, it wasn't the right amount, so now it stays no good? Or maybe ain't dichoy in Shabbos. There's no such thing as dichoy in regards to Shabbos. In regards to karbanos, you have an idea that a carbon that at one point wasn't suitable stays unsuitable. That doesn't apply to Shabbos. Says the Gemara, that question we don't know. Teiku, to that we don't have an answer. Okay. So again, we're talking about this issue of what is considered prominent, what is not considered prominent, and now the Gemara is going to try to ask, what happens if something becomes prominent in a different area of halacha? Would that enable it to become prominent in regards to carrying on Shabbos? Boy, meaning Rav Meir of Nachman. Rav asked the following question to Rav Nachman. Zarachs, kizayis truma labayis tamei mahu. What's the law if somebody throws an olive worth of truma? Remember, truma is not allowed to become impure. He threw an olive worth of truma into a house that was impure. So Gemara says, Lamai, what's your question about? Ilin yin Shabbos, if regards to the question, is this considered carrying on Shabbos? Could go garis bein on truma's food. And in regards to food, the amount of food that's prominent to obligate you for carrying it on Shabbos is a fig worth. Ilin yin tuma, if you're going to tell me, well, this olive worth of truma that went into the house, did it become impure to make other things impure? We know that foods only can transmit impurity if there is an egg worth of the food, not if there's only an olive worth of food. Says the Gemara, l'olam lin Shabbos. Now we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos here. And kagon de'ika pachas mikabetza ochlin. And the issue is, we're in the house, there's less than an egg worth of food. V'hai mashlimo l'kabetza. And throwing in this amount completes the egg worth of food. So now the question is like this. What's the law? Midim mitzdarif linyan tuma, the fact that this amount thrown in completed the egg worth. So now that I threw in an olive worth, I have now an egg worth of food. So now I have enough to transmit impurity. So the fact that it's prominent in regards to the laws of impurity maybe also makes it prominent in regards to Shabbos. Umachayef na'mi linyan Shabbos. And that makes an olive worth a significant thing and equal to a fig worth. And therefore you'd be considered obligated for violating Shabbos. Odomar, maybe not. Kol linyan Shabbos could grow garis binan. Whenever you deal with foods and carrying on Shabbos, the only amount of food that's prominent that you would be obligated for carrying it has to be an amount of food that's the size of a fig worth. And it doesn't matter that this olive worth has significance in regards to other areas of halacha. It's not a fig worth. Amar lei, so Rav Nachman answered to Nisuha. We learned it in a braisa. The braisa says, Abishol Omer, Abishol teaches, when you deal with the Beis HaMikdash, there are special loaves of bread, Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread that were brought on Shavuos, and the Lechem Apanim, the special showbread that was divided up and eaten by the Kohanim every Shabbos. Shi'uran, in regards to carrying these breads on Shabbos, if somebody carried them from the Beis HaMikdash out into the street, he would be obligated to grow geres. He's only obligated if he carries a fig worth of them, not if he carries an olive worth of them. V'amai. Why do we say that you're only obligated if you carry a fig worth of them and not if you carry an olive worth of them? Lema, why don't you suggest, midalin in yotze, since in regards to other areas of halacha, an olive worth of this material is prominent, now starting tzadi aleph from beis, what area of halacha, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to take sacred items out of the Beis HaMikdash? It's a prohibition. So in regards to violating that prohibition, one would violate it with just an olive worth of the showbread or an olive worth of the two loaves. So since in regards to Yotze, b'kazayis, a single olive worth is already prominent. Linyan Shabbos tami b'kazayis. So in regards to Shabbos and carrying, we should also say that an olive worth is prominent. And the fact that we don't say that tells that even in regards to this situation, when you throw the truma into the house, am I throwing it into the house? Now you have in the house more than a kibetza, more than an egg worth. You see that it does not become chashav, it doesn't become prominent. Because it's chashav in one area, it doesn't make it prominent in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. Gemara says, no, Hachi Ashto, what's the comparison? Hasam, in regards to Karbanos, Midaf Kechutz L'chom Asazara, if Salebi Yotze. Once you carry it out of the Beit HaMikdash, you've already done your violation of Yotze, of taking it out of the temple, and now it's no longer considered holy anymore, because it's been taken out of the temple. Ashabis lo machayev, but for Shabbos you're not obligated as a mapik leilur shasarab until you put it down into the public domain. And at this point you haven't yet put it down into the public domain. So the fact that you violated Yotze with a kezayis doesn't mean that a kezayis is significant in regards to carrying. But hacha, but in regards to somebody who throws a kezayis of truma into a house. So now we're talking about Shabbos and Tumah, right? When you threw it into the house, that's when you've added it to the amount of Truma that's there. When you throw it into the house, it's considered at rest in the house, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. There's a concept called Baisa Kaman Damalya Damya. The house is considered filled in. You throw it into the house, now you've already put it into the house. You put it into that new domain. So now the question is like this. When Shabbos v'Tumah ba'adi adadika asinan, when both the violation of Shabbos is happening simultaneously with the fact that this amount of food is impacting the laws of Tumah, that now you have a kibetza, an egg worth of Tumah food that can now transmit Tumah. So now maybe because it has impact in regards to the laws of impurity, it should also have impact in regards to the laws of Shabbos. It should be considered a significant amount, and you should be obligated for your violation of Shabbos. And the Gemara does not resolve this question. Okay. So now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that if a person takes a single seed, and even though normally five garden seeds is what's a prominent amount, for him, one seed is a prominent amount because he wants to plant, or he wants it for medicine, or he wants it for sales, for a sample. And he put aside a single seed, and then as the Gemara explained, he forgot about what he was doing, and he just took it, and he took it out and put it on the street on Shabbos. He's obligated. That's what the Mishnah said. Then the Mishnah said, Chazar v'ichniso, but then when he changes his mind, I'm not going to use it for planting. And he goes and he takes the seed and puts it back inside. So now he's potter, because ain't no chai v'el shiro. He'd only be obligated if you take in five seeds, not if he takes in one seed. Amar Abaye Abaye said, Halcha b'may askinan. You know what the case of the Mishnah is? I'm sorry, the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's obvious, right? If he's not planning anymore for planting, if he's not planning anymore for planting, or he's not planning for medicine, he's not planning for a sample to sell. So of course one seed's not prominent. Pshita, it's obvious. Amar Abaye, Abaye said like this. Hachav Mayaskin, and the case is like this. He didn't really say, I changed my mind. Kagon, the case was like this. He took out a single seed, and then Shazarko Laotzar. He took this seed, and he threw it to where all the other seeds are. But he didn't, you know, in a very demonstrative way, put this seed by itself. But he did throw it where all the other seeds, and it can be seen. Umakomo Nikar, you can see this seed on its own. So Mao did same would have thought to say, came to Makomo Nikar, since you can see this seed on its own, the Milsa Kamai Sakai, so then it should still be in its first status. It should still be in its first status, because you can still see it. So since he could still see it, maybe it is still that he values one seed. Kamash Malan, so the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, Midazar Kila Otsar, if he took this seed and just threw it with all the other seeds, that's showing that he doesn't value one seed on its own. Bitule Batle, he's annulling his initial thought, and if he annuls his initial thought, you go back to the general rule that only five seeds is a prominent amount, and a single seed is not. Okay, that completes the discussions about really Fred's question of yesterday. What is a prominent amount? Is it objective? Is it subjective? If it's subjective for one, is it objective for everybody else? That's the issues that we were discussing till now. And now we're going to move into the issue that Baruch brought up, and that is the question of carrying, and what is really the definition of carrying? So the definition of carrying, the prohibition, is to carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, from a private domain to a public domain. What's the definition of private domain? Private domain is an area that is 4 amos by 4 amos, 6 feet by 6 feet, and that is surrounded with 4 walls, each wall being at least 10 tefachim tall, each wall being at least 30 inches tall. So if you have a domain, you could have a platform, which is 30 inches tall and is 6 feet by 6 feet. That's also a private domain. You could have a bullpen in a stadium. That would be a private domain. You've got walls around it, and it is certainly more than 6 feet by 6 feet. What happens if you have a situation, you have an area that's 6 feet by 6 feet, but it has a wall that's only 4 tefachim tall. It's only 12 inches tall wall. So that's not a private domain. The walls aren't tall enough. It's also not a public domain. A public domain is a thoroughfare. It's a place that is 24 feet wide. It's open on each side. You've got 600,000 people on it every day. It's certainly not a thoroughfare. So those areas that are in between the private domain and the public domain have their own status. They're called karmelis. And as a karmelis, there is a rabbinic prohibition that you're not allowed to carry from the karmelis to the public domain, and you're not allowed to carry even within the karmelis for amos. Okay, so now let's see the Mishnah.
So Rabbi, in your backyard, if you don't have walls around your property,
yeah,
your backyard, and let's say you have 100 feet of backyard,
okay,
and you don't have walls around it, that's not your private property?
In regards to Shabbos, it may not be considered Rishus HaYachid, a private domain. It is your private property. You own the area, but in terms of...
But then it's private property then.
Yeah, but for the law of Shabbos, it's not just about ownership. It's about this particular rules. You have to have 4 walls. Sometimes a backyard is going to have walls because it's going to have a fence. Sometimes the bushes are next to each other and they're tall enough to be considered a wall. Sometimes the tree branches are close enough to each other to be considered an enclosure. So you have to look at each property unto itself. But the issue here is, it's not a monetary question. It is certainly your private property. The question is it called Rishus HaYachid, the domain of the individual, versus Rishus HaRabim, the domain of the many? Rishus HaYachid is a domain with certain rules. This is all halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. These are the traditions that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. It has to have walls around it, and the walls have to be 10 tefachim tall. A Rishus HaRabim is an area that is very open. It does not have walls around it, and it is open on each side. It's mefulash mishar l'shar, according to some Rishonim, open from one gate of the city to the other gate of the city, and it's a big thoroughfare, flat area that lots and lots of people and animals are walking around on. So now let's see the Mishnah.
One more question.
Please.
I have. Supposedly one guy, you know, take a seat and do high, you know, plant it in his corner of his farm, and comes out fruits.
Good.
Those fruits are asur for him to eat? Is it, you know, or he could eat those? I know he already violated the Shabbat by planting. That fruits come out.
Uh-huh.
That fruit is asur?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Is that kosher lafesa?
No, that fruit is prohibited. He can't eat it. He can't eat those fruits. If they came through violating Shabbos, he can't eat it. Correct, right.
As a part of his,
no.
The 10%?
No, no, no. He can't eat it. It's Masa Shabbos, the product of Shabbos. It's prohibited.
Okay.
Yeah. So now the Mishnah. Hamotzi Ochlin. Let's say a person is taking food out. Unasan ala skupa. And he puts it on the front step. So the front step here is an area, as we're going to learn, that is not a private domain. It's 4 by 4, but it doesn't have a wall that's 10 tefachim. It has a wall that's higher than 3 tefachim, up to like 8 tefachim or so. From 3 to 8 tefachim. Now, Bein Shachazer Votzi, and whether he now picks it up again, he takes it out further to the public domain, Uvein Shotzi on Acher, or if somebody else takes them out, Patri is exempt. Bipnei Shlo Asa Malachto Bevas Achas, because he didn't do his work all at once. He only did the Malacha in halves. He took from the private domain to the Iskupa, and then from the Iskupa to the public domain. Now the truth is, this area is even less than than a Carmelis. This area is considered makom ptur, a place of exemption entirely. This front stoop. All right, next. Kupa shimalea peros. Let's say you have a box filled with wheat. You pick it up in the private domain. Unesana ala iskupa chitzona. And he put it on this little wall that's in front of the front stoop. So now most of the box is on the outside, and a little bit is still inside the house. Avabi shirov peiros mibachutz, even though most of the wheat in this box is now outside in the street, Potter is still exempt. Ad sheyotzi is kol hakupa. He would only be guilty if he picked up from the private domain and fully removed it out and placed it fully into the public domain. So the Gemara now says, Hai iskupa, this front stoop, my, what is its status? Ilem iskupa rishus sarabim, if the front stoop has the status of a street, of a public domain, so then how could it be pater? How could it be exempt? Hakamapik mishus ayach rishus sarabim, he's taking from a private domain into a public domain. Ella, rather, iskupa rishus ayachid, if this stoop is a private domain, so then bein shechazer v'otzion v'ein shechotzion acher pater, whether he now goes and takes it out from the front stoop to the street, or someone else takes it from the front stoop to the street, he's exempt. Why is they exempt? Hakamapik mishus ayach lishus harabim. He's taking from a private domain to a public domain. Ella rather, says the Gemara, what I had first suggested, is skupa carmelis. This is skupa is a carmelis. The skupa is a domain that's in the middle. It's not private and it's not public. In other words, it's more than 3 tfachim off of the ground, less than 9 tfachim off of the ground, and it's 4 by 4 tfachim. So it's not a domain. And here's the idea of the Mishnah. Tama, the reason why he's exempt, in Nach B'Karmelis, because he picked it up in the private domain and put it down in the Karmelis. Hello, Nach B'Karmelis, but if he wouldn't put it down in the Karmelis, if he would pick it up from the private domain, carry it through the Karmelis, and put it down in the public domain, then he would be Chayiv. Then he would be obligated. Says the Gemara, Masnis in this Mishnah, is Delo Keben Azai. It's not like Ben Azai. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Hamotzi Mechanos Leplatya. If a person carries from the storefront, a storefront is a private domain, to the platya, to the market square, which is the public domain, derech stav, through where all the platforms are, where they put out the merchandise, and where people sit, which is a carmelis, chayiv, he is chayiv, that's the Tanakama, uben azai poter, but ben azai exempts, because ben azai says, this is not the normal hotza, when you walk, every step is considered sitting down. So every step is considered sitting down. If you walk through an area which is a carmelis, it's as if you sat down on the carmelis. So according to Ben Azai, if you were to take something from your house through the front stoop out into the street, since you walked, it's considered that you stopped on the front stoop, and you would be exempt. And that's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah holds like the Tanakama, and not like Ben Azai. Okay, we're at the two dots on Sadi Aleph Amid Beis. The Mishnah said, Kupa, if you have a box, Shimalaya, which is filled with wheat, and you put it out of your house onto the front stoop, on the wall of the front stoop, even though most of the box is out of the house, if some of the box is still in the house, you haven't violated Shabbos. Amar Chizkiah said, Lo Shanu, this is only true that you have to take out the whole box to be violating. Elo Bekupa Malea Kishun V'Diluin. If it's a box filled with cucumbers and butternut squash, so those are long things. And if you haven't taken the entire box out of the house, so you haven't gotten the whole box out into the public domain, each individual long cucumber and long butternut squash is not fully in the public domain. Avul malaya chardol, but if you have a box filled with mustard seeds, chayiv. then you are chayiv, because even though it's all part of a box, and part of this box is not out yet, but each seed should be looked at on itself. So the Gemara says, according to Chizkiya, Alma Kasavar, you see that Chizkiya holds, Eged Kli Lo Shmei Eged. The fact that something is connected, because it's all in one utensil, doesn't mean it's connected. So since each particular, he's saying you can look at each particular mustard seed, and each particular mustard seed on its own, some of them are fully in the public domain. And therefore, that's considered hotzah, even though they are attached to a utensil. They should not be considered. It should still be considered, according to him, he holds, Eged Kli, Lo Shmei Eged. Reb Yochanan says no. Afilu Mileya Chardel. Even if you have a box filled with mustard seeds, Potter, if you didn't get all of the box out into the public domain, you are exempt. Alma Kasavar, because he holds Eged Kli. The fact that it's connected through being in one box, Shmei Eged, makes it all considered connected. And since you don't have the whole box out in the public domain, you are exempt. Amar Reb Zeira said, Mas Nisin, our Mishnah, Deloch Chizkiya Daika, doesn't really work well with Chizkiya. Udeloch Reb Yochanan Daika, it also doesn't work well with Reb Yochanan. Chizkiya Lo Daika, doesn't work well with Chizkiya Diktani, because it said in our Mishnah, Achiyotzias Kalakupa. When is he obligated if he gets the entire box out into the public domain? Time of the Kalakupa. When is he obligated only if he got the whole box out? Hakalaperos, but if he got all of the items that are in the box, but not all of the box, Patri'd be exempt. Alma Kasavar, you see that the Mishnah holds, Eged Kli, Shmei Eged. The fact that it's connected through the utensil means that it's all one item through the utensil. Krib Yochanan Lo Daika, but even according to Krib Yochanan, it doesn't work. Diktani, because it said, Afal Pi, Shirov Peros Pachutz, even though most of what's in the box, most of the fruits, are out into the street, nevertheless, he's exempt. Taima, what do you see? Derov peros. It's only when most of the fruits, most of the wheat is outside. Hakol peros, but if all of it would be outside. Afal gav dagida kupa migava, even though the edges of the box would still be inside. Chayev, you would be obligated. Alma kasavar eget kli lo shmei eget. So then you see that the Mishnah holds that it's not just that the utensil unites it all and makes it all one thing. Elakasha, one second, but the Mishnah itself now is contradicting itself. So Chizkiya mitaretz l'tameh, Reb Yochanan mitaretz l'tameh. Chizkiya will say that the Mishnah does work with his view, and Reb Yochanan will answer up the whole Mishnah so that the Mishnah would work with his view. Chizkiya mitaretz l'tameh, Chizkiya will explain it according to his view. When the Mishnah says, Achiyotzi is kolakupa, he's only obligated if he gets the whole box out into the street. He'll read it like this. When is that true? Kupa maleim kishua meduluin. With cucumbers and butternut squash. So when the box is filled with cucumbers and butternut squash, if you didn't get the whole box out, you didn't get the entire cucumber out. Most of the cucumber is out, but some of it's not. Avil, but if Malaya Chardel, if the box would be filled with little mustard seeds, then the way to read the Mishnah is Nasa Kamishotzi is Kalakupa. That's as if you took out the whole box, V'chayev, and you are obligated. Reb Yochanan mitaretz l'tamei, and Reb Yochanan will explain the Mishnah according to his logic. Af pisharov peros bachutz, the Mishnah says, even though most of the items that are in the box, most of the seeds are outside, nevertheless he's exempt. V'lo rov peros bilvad, not only most of the seeds, elafilu kol peros, even all of the seeds, pater, he would be exempt. Ad shiyotzi es kalakupa, the only way he is chayiv as if he takes the entirety of the box out. Meisvei, the Gemara says, I'll challenge these opinions. We learned in a brisa, hamotzi kupas rochlin. If a person carries out the box that the perfume sellers transport their perfume in, so it has little bundles of perfume, unasan alas kupa chitzona, and he put it on to a little stoop, which is already considered a public domain. Afal pi shirov minim bachutz, even though most of the bundles of perfume are out into the street, patra chiyotzi es kalakupa, he's exempt until he puts the entire box out into the street. Kasalka diet, and we're thinking, what are we talking about? Bitzrari, little bundles of perfumes. So Kashi l'chizkia. So this is against Chizkia. Chizkia holds that the fact that it's all in one box doesn't make it one item. You look at the items that are inside the box onto themselves. So look at each bundle unto itself. Amlecha Chizkia. Chizkia will answer. Hachab mayaskinan here. What are we talking about now with little bundles of ground spices? But beurnasi. We're talking about with the roots of the spices. Let's say a cinnamon root. So the cinnamon root is a long thing. It's like a long cucumber. Okay, we'll stop here. And Be'ezrat Hashem will continue on Matzoi Shabbos at 10 p.m. with Daf Tzadi Beis. Thank you all very much.